If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
So talent, energy, dedication, discipline, passion, innovation, education, drive, mind, body, spirit, vision, honor, truth, and drums make the man. And Kenny Aronoff, voted as Rolling Stone Magazine's one of the greatest drummers of all time, is arguably the most sought-after recording and touring beatmaster ever. He's worked with the likes of John Mellencamp, Melissa Etheridge, John Fogerty, Bon Jovi, Stevie Nicks, Smashing Pumpkins, The Bodines, Paul Westerberg, Celine Dion, Elton John, Bob Dylan, Alice Cooper, Meatloaf, Joe Cocker, and he will join Sammy Hagar's High Octane Best of the World's residency running from Wednesday, April 30th through Saturday, May 17th at Dolby Live at Park MGM in Las Vegas, along with Joe Satriani, Michael Anthony, and more. And Kenny joins us once again tonight. Hey, buddy.
How you doing, man?
I am great. I was just sharing with you before we got started here that watching you play, it's, to me, it's art. I mean, it's absolutely, first of all, it's exhausting watching you play. It's exhausting, yeah. But it is absolutely amazing. I got to like stand like 5 feet away from you during a Bodines concert when you were in Chicago a couple years ago, and nothing short of incredible, my friend.
Thank you. That's awesome. Thank you. I'm glad you appreciate that. I mean, I don't, it's not, I don't choose to be that. Yeah. I mean, I choose to be that way, but I am wired that way.
Yeah.
And I, even last night, wake up and, I went to bed, slept 4 hours, typically woke up, went downstairs because I didn't want to wake my wife up. And then I started practicing on my legs some new techniques to add to my 30-minute routine I do that I call functional practicing. It's a designed specifically to make me sound 3% better than I normally do if I do this 3 times a day.
Wow.
Every second is designed to work certain techniques out that I use every night when I play. So I'm not wasting any time. And I thought, man, I should really add this to it. And this is the way my brain works. So, yeah, when I play, it doesn't matter if it's an unsigned artist in my studio and nobody's watching, or if I'm playing Kenny Sinanos or Fogerty, Bodines, you know, anybody, it's the same to me.
It is.
I've got to play perfect.
Absolutely. And, you know, you've had quite a life. And when I first talked to you about 4 years ago, I thought to myself, this guy's got to write a book. And that's about as long, I think, that it took you to put this book together, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it took a long time. Not an easy task. And I didn't really want to do it because I had a feeling it was going to be a lot of work, and God, was I right. And, you know, I'm busy enough as it is, and I now know why people don't write autobiographies.
Well, your first submission was like almost 250,000 words, wasn't it, the first time you put it together?
I think it was like 600 pages, and the contract's for 300.
Oh, God. So, that's a couple volumes right there, my friend. That's what that is.
And at one point, I literally had a checkbook in my hand, and I had Hal Leonard on the other line saying, listen, I'm ready to buy this book back and bury it. This book ain't happening. and just like a lot of great things, you get to that point, and I felt that, you know, I had already gotten interviews from John Bon Jovi, John Mellencamp, John Fogerty, Melissa Etheridge, Billy Corgan. I mean, there was no turning back in a way, or I guess I could have buried it, but the point is, if it was going to come on, I had to make sure that it was decent, you know, and good. And I think we're there.
Well, I mean, and plus, it allowed you to reflect on this journey that you've had and really go back in detail, because I know you've kept calendars and weekly planners that documented every single session and every single gig that you've ever done. So to be able to walk through that step by step and relive it, that must have had a great impact on you.
Yeah, because I never look back. I don't even play the stuff I played on. It never is good enough to me. I mean, I have this phrase that I'll never be as great as I want to be, but I'm willing to spend the rest of my life trying to be as great as I can be. It's like being a running back. You don't score touchdowns every time, but you just keep trying. Anyway, that's just kind of the human condition, and I've accepted that, and that's cool. And that's what makes it possible for me to keep going, because I realize, you know, you're not going to be perfect. You're going to have bad days. You know, but the big picture is that I'm getting better and better still. I love what I do. And, yeah, I mean, it's been, I had to look back and look to my life, and then that was definitely wow. There's a lot of therapy in that.
Yeah, I bet.
I'll tell you this,
I bet.
I mean, it was like I had to relive a lot of stuff. It wasn't bad. It just took a lot of work. And then I asked myself, the big question I asked myself was, wait a minute, how did I do this? How did a little kid that, you know, saw the Beatles, that famous Ed Sullivan show, you know, when I was 11 years old in 1964, the Beatles playing on the Ed Sullivan show, how did a little kid who saw that end up playing with the Beatles, honoring them for that show 50 years later?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, how did that happen, and all the stuff in between? And I answered it with, I came up with 7 ways I believe people can be successful and stay successful, because these are the same 7 ways that led me to have this extraordinary career in one of the most difficult businesses in the world, the music business. I mean, I never asked myself that question before, and then finally I answered it with 7 things, you know, that, you know, stuff like self-discipline, hard work, you know, communication skills, getting along with people, that's huge. Being able to execute a plan that reaches goals. Healthy life is a wealthy life. You got to be healthier mentally, physically, and emotionally, or everything crumbles.
Well, I think that's one of the best stories cover to cover, though, reading this book, is knowing, you know, the influence that you had watching the Beatles on Sullivan. And then again, when mm-hmm. the Beatles had their celebration, you know, you were playing on stage with Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr. I mean, really, your life has come full circle.
Yeah, I mean, what a lucky break for me to have that, because that ended up being a great kind of way to bookend my book. I mean, I didn't plan that, but it sure is nice. What a way to, you know, it's basically, this is how it goes. Dreams come true, but not by accident.
Yeah.
I made them happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dreams come true, not by accident. I made it happen, meaning, if I hadn't done those 7 things, worked my butt off and practiced, you know, always 8 hours a day whenever I had those opportunities, and bust my ass and never sit on my laurels, and even when I made it, I worked just as hard as I do now. That made it so that I was available in people's faces. So when it was time to have somebody do that show, they called me.
Kenny Aronoff right now playing Vegas at Sammy Hagar's Best of All Worlds residency starting Wednesday, April 30th through Saturday, May 17th at Dolby Live at Park MGM in Las Vegas. And there's more with Kenny right after this on 720 WGN. All right, it's Dave Plyer, 720 WGN, from John Mellencamp to the Rolling Stones, Sting, Bob Dylan, Paul McCartney, Bruce Springsteen, Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, Elton John, Lady Gaga, the Smashing Pumpkins, and more. Legendary Kenny Aronoff is joining us. So early on, you started a band called the Alley Cats. That was Beach Boys inspired, right?
Beach Boys and Beatles.
Beach Boys and Beatles. Pretty cool. And that was kind of where you first got your feet wet in your own band. And then in 1980, you joined John Mellencamp, John Cougar at the time.
Yeah, what happened was, I call it the American dream. You go to school, get a degree in something, and then you get a job in the field that you studied. I did. I got into the Jerusalem Symphony Orchestra and Quito Ecuador, but I still wanted to be in the Beatles. My heart dominated, my passion dominated my intellect, and that was, I kept telling myself, you should do this orchestra gig, but I didn't want to. I'd rather play in a club, playing rock and roll, rock, you know, rock, R&B, fusion music, making $75 a night. Because that's really what I want to do. And so then I spent 4 years busting my ass, moved back to Indiana, had my own band. The idea was to get a record deal, get signed, make records, and tour. Didn't happen. And then I heard about this Johnny Cougar guy that lived in Bloomington, Indiana, of all things. Auditioned, got the gig.
And John's guitar player told you right off the bat, welcome to hell. More, which is, wow. Hey, thanks. Thanks, buddy, for the first, but referring to his rigorous rehearsal schedule. I mean, he was pretty tough.
Oh, it was good. I praise him for it. I mean, I think that the only way you can make it is from self-discipline and hard work. And John had us working from 11 in the morning to 5 at night, and then it did a break 7 to 11, 5 days a week. And it's like a business. And that's how we came from being a club band into a, you know, small a venue to eventually arenas, you know. And it just came from hard work. And the people that are lazy and feel self-entitled You know, you do nothing, you get nothing. It's like math.
So true.
Zero equals zero.
Yeah, man.
And we weren't that. We worked our asses off. And as we were making hits and being successful, we continued to do that. And I was already that guy anyway. But seeing that in rock and roll was really awesome. And I have used that business model to stay successful my entire life. And as you know, when John quit, I broke into session work. And I use that same business model to become successful at that. And, you know, I'm the book, I'm doing speaking engagements now. It's once you learn discipline, man, you can apply it to anything,
absolutely,
including raising a family.
Playing with John, tell us the story about behind Jack and Diane.
Well, Jack and Diane wasn't on the record because we didn't know what to do with it. It was a simple song. It had great lyrics. We all knew it was a cool song, but we weren't educated enough to know how to arrange it. So, you know, we went, didn't work it out in the studio, in home, in a rehearsal place, which typically becomes a bigger problem in the studio. And we kept hearing this weird drum machine sequence pattern coming out of the room next to us in Criteria Studios in Miami. It was the Bee Gees, and they had this Lin drum machine, basically a drum machine, and it was playing the beat. They were trying to be hip and modern, too, because they're whole disco thing was, you know, big.
Sure.
And so our engineer walked in with that once, and I was just mortified that I would be replaced by a drum
machine. Yeah, yeah.
So I just grabbed the thing from him and said, give me that thing. You know, if anyone's going to program it, I wanted to at least have my touch on it. So I did. I programmed the beat I was playing on a drum machine using different sounds. Instead of, like, hi-hat, I had tambourine on the Lin drum machine. And instead of kick drum, it was a pitch tom-tom. And then I went into the lounge and played pool, kind of all bummed out, you know, being replaced by a drum machine. And, I mean, nowadays that's just common, but back
yeah.
then it wasn't
no.
that common. So I, then all of a sudden I hear John yelling, Aronoff, get Aronoff in here. And he said he wanted a drum solo. And I kept thinking, a drum solo on a ballad? I was thinking.
Right. I'm with you. I hear you. Yeah.
I was going, well, you know, I was into Buddy Rich and all these technique guys. And I went, God, what would Buddy Rich do? And I thought about it. I went, well, Buddy Rich would say, get rid of that song. It stinks. Can't solo on that. But that wasn't the case.
No.
So I basically, long story short, I was fighting for my job at that point. Two guys had been fired. It was a very tense situation making that record. And rightfully so, John felt like he was going to be dropped. And we did eventually get dropped. Ironically, on that record, and that record won a Grammy in the end. So, a great rock and roll story. But basically, I had to compose a piece of music. It wasn't really a drum solo. It was a piece of music that had hook lines and the rhythm that you could imitate, and people would air drum for the rest of my life.
It's a critical part of the song. Absolutely,
it's huge, man. It was huge, and it didn't come easy, but I did it, and proud of it, and it launched my career. And you know, I never thought that it was all done. When I finally that song went to number one, I was more afraid that it was number one than if it hadn't made it, because I thought, how can I do this again? Am I really number one? No. Like I said, I'll never be as great as I want to be, but I'll spend the rest of my life trying to be as great as I can be. And I didn't think I was number one at all. People are going to think I'm number one, but I'm not number one. What am I going to do next? How am I going to keep this going? So what do I practice? How do I get better, you know?
And you still do that. And I know that's how you still feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still feel that way.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, I know with John, you were on Saturday Night Live. You performed with the original Not Ready for Primetime Players. You've been on Saturday Night Live multiple times, not only with Cougar or Mellencamp, but with the Pumpkins, and I think Willie Nelson, maybe? Was Willie Nelson or Paul Simon?
Willie and Paul Simon together, yeah. Yep. Six times I did. That's a great show. That's very live.
Yeah, it is. I'm sure it is. And then you played Farm Aid with John, which was the first time you also met John Fogerty, which also turned out to be a two-decade-long friendship, if not more.
Oh, man. Dude, I was rolling joints on Creedence Clearwater Records and, you know, thinking, God, that guy's voice is so amazing. And, you know, reading... Can I say joints on the radio?
You've said it a few times too, so I'm fine with that. It's late night. We're good with that.
Okay, good. So all you fans listening, I hope I didn't offend you. I won't say it again.
Not at all.
So Yeah, I mean, I was. I'm so blessed. I mean, I'm so lucky. Somebody told me you're going to play with John Fogerty from Creedence Clearwater, the singer of Born on the Bayou. When I was 13 years old, listening to his stuff, I would have fainted. And so, yeah, playing with him has been one of the iconic moments of my life. You know. Unbelievable.
And then, you know, you started playing with the Bodines, which is how I've seen you and known you for the past 30 years and in studio, too, here with Kurt. And then you got a call from someone asking if you would be interested in auditioning with a bass player of your choice with Mick Jagger. I mean, holy cow.
Right.
Do you want to is the question. Oh, yeah, sure. Why not?
Dude, I got that call. I would definitely... The adrenaline level went up. And I remember I was so pumped.
Yeah.
We got into SIR Studios where we were playing. I set up the drums. As soon as I got the drums set up, I started just getting this funky beat, you know. Mm. I remember the other guys all looking at me like, what are you doing? I mean, it's Mick Jagger, man. I'm like, I'm thinking, I don't care, man. I'm just laying this dude down. And Mick starts dancing, doing that rooster thing he does, you know.
Yeah.
Sweating.
The energy,
and
right?
He likes it. And then we just did this song, and I got the gig. You know, me and the bass player got the gig, but then I ended up not being able to do it because they kept changing the schedule, and I was booked with Mellencamp.
Kenny Aronoff right now playing Vegas at Sammy Hagar's Best of All Worlds residency starting Wednesday, April 30th through Saturday, May 17th at Dolby Live at Park MGM in Las Vegas. And there's more with Kenny after the news next. And that is legendary drummer Kenny Aronoff playing the 56th annual Grammy Awards with Ringo Starr singing Photograph, his number one single with celebrity recruits of his all-star band. All right, so word started getting out that you could play just about everything, Kenny. Hard rock with Alice Cooper, B.B. King and the blues, Johnny Cash and country, Elton John. They were flying you all across the world to have you play.
Yeah, man, that's the truth. That's why I was able to live in Indiana for so long, because they'd just fly me anywhere. Everybody knew me at the airport. I'd show up with two cases of snare drums, and I had two kits in L.A., two in Nashville, one in New York, or two in New York, and I had one in Japan, one in Germany. I just fly everywhere, make records. I think one two-week period was rehearse with Fogerty for his first tour in 20 years to play Creedence songs. From 12 to 6, from 7 o'clock until 11 at night, I was working with Roy Bittan from Springsteen's band. He was producing artists. And from midnight until 6 in the morning, I was recording with the Rolling Stones. And on the weekend, Bon Jovi.
Wow. Now, I was going to say, I'm going to embarrass you a little bit because the list is endless. And I mentioned just a few of them in the beginning of the interview, but just looking at the stories from this book, The Smashing Pumpkins, Bob Seger, John Fogerty, Melissa Etheridge, Joe Cocker, Willie Nelson, Michelle Branch, Styx, the Goo Goo Dolls, the Bodines, Ringo, Dr. John, Greg Allman, the Stones, Smashing Pumpkins, Springsteen, Ringo, Bob Seger, Melissa Etheridge, John Bon Jovi, Elton John, Bob Dylan, Rod Stewart, Steven Tyler, Dave Grohl, Waylon Jennings, Johnny Cash, Sheryl Crow, Ray Charles, Alice Cooper, B.B. King, Bonnie Raitt, Santana, Patti LaBelle. I mean, look at this stuff. It's just the list is overwhelming, Kenny. I'm going to tell you.
It's crazy. I know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, when I look back, I don't pay attention to that stuff. All I'm thinking is like, well, what am I doing next week? Shit, it's over. It's not. I got Billy Gibbons coming up, a Paul Simon thing coming up. I've got Fogerty thing coming up, Bodine's coming up, and I've got, I'm reading Sammy Hagar thing coming up. It's just,
your energy is amazing, man.
I'm very fortunate. Well, I take care of myself, you know.
You've played on Grammy specials. You talked about presidential inaugurations, Kennedy Center honors, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and with Paul Schaefer. And I know you filled in, actually, with Paul on the CBS Orchestra when Letterman was still on the air.
50 times.
Wow.
And the first time was great because I'm like flying from Japan. I did some big special out there. Well, I was playing with everybody anyway. I got fly in, and the first day I'm on the show, I mean, it's like you have to learn the theme, and there's all these, like, the rehearsals for 30 minutes, and you have to come up with all this walk-on music, walk-off music. Paul's got a list of 350 songs. I narrowed it down to 30, and he'd say, okay, well, we'll bring this on, and there's all these cues and blah, 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 and I'm nervous, and we get through the theme, and we get through walking somebody on, and then all of a sudden doing this guy walking, I was doing this stupid human tricks, and I'm looking at my notes, and I'm nervous, and I'm sweating, I'm like, God, I'm almost done. And Dave says, what are you going to do? He said, well, I'm going to do a handstand, there's a mirror underneath the rim, and you tie a yo-yo to my toe, and I'm going to yo-yo. And David goes, drive on the air, goes, Anton, get up here. He says, oh, wait, you don't have Anton. Kenny, get up here. I'm like, me? And then, you know, every second, you know, you don't want to waste time. I'm like, yeah, get up here now. So I go running up there. Says, okay, Ken, you understand? He's going to do a handstand, you're going to tie the yo-yo to his foot. I'm like, okay. I'm like, there I am, center stage, David Letterman show. And the guy goes up, and his feet are moving all over the place. And Dave's trying to get the yo-yo on. I'm like, I'm trying, but his foot, I couldn't get. Every time I try to tie it, his foot goes flying. So finally I get it tied. And Dave says, well, go back and hit a snare roll for me. It was so embarrassing.
But how fun. I mean, how what a great experience. And, you know, shortly thereafter, you came in studio. I think it was around New Year's. It was for a New Year's show you played that I went to. And you and Kurt from the Bodines came into studio and you hung out in here. And it was just a couple months later, I think, that came the Beatles, The Night That Changed America. And I swear, I just turned it on for just a few seconds and I'm sitting in the chair. And, you know, I'm almost 50, so I need glasses sometimes. And I'm looking, I'm like, that's Kenny. That's him on stage. And I walked right up to the set and I was like, oh my God. How surreal was that, coming full circle to playing with Ringo and Paul?
Oh man. First of all, I had to not think about it too much.
Yeah.
I focused on doing my job. I didn't want to mess up there. For every lick I play, I mean, Ringo's playing. So, you know, I was trying to be very, very accurate and respectful to him. So basically, in between every, they would set the stage for the next artist, I was practicing the count off with a click track and the everything. Just literally, I got this thing I called RPS, repetition is the preparation for success, repeating anything over and over and over again. It's a repetition, is that repetition of that thing is the preparation for success. So I was repeating over and over and over again the count off, the first beat, the first fill, so that when they said go, I was already in the groove and in the pocket, and I made no mistakes, and it was fantastic, you know. And then afterwards, that's when I flipped out and had incredible conversations with Paul and Ringo, and I just couldn't believe it. It was like a lifelong dream came true.
It all came true. Well, Kenny will join Sammy Hagar's High Octane Best of All Worlds residency running from Wednesday, April 30th through Saturday, May 17th at Dolby Live at Park MGM in Las Vegas, along with Joe Satriani, Michael Anthony, and more. Kenny, next time you are in Chicago, let's talk face-to-face in studio. Love to see you again.
I will, man. I'll just come by. Is that all right?
All right. That sounds awesome. The door's always open, Kenny. All right. Take care of yourself.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. It's 720 WGN.